Good evening. You're listening to Art Speak Radio, a 30-minute live program about the thriving visual and literary arts community in Kansas City. I'm Blair Schulman with Maria Vasquez Boyd. Together, we'll bring you information about what's happening in the arts community, events you should know about, and interviews with local artists and writers. Tonight, I am talking with multidisciplinary artist Corey Immig. Her work is usually takes the form of large-scale installations that focus on documenting time and highlighting pattern. Immig was a 2012 fellow in the Oklahoma Art Writing and Curatorial Fellowship Program. Currently, she is a lecturer in the Fiber Department at the Kansas City Art Institute. She received her BFA from Savannah College of Art and Design in 2008, where she studied fibers and sculpture. And in addition to her studio practice, Immig is a founding member of Plug Projects, a curatorial collaboration in the Stockyards District of Kansas City. And right now, her solo exhibition, Room Size, is on view at City Ice Art. They're at 2015 Campbell Street, and their web address is cityicearts.com. Corey, welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. Tell us about your latest exhibition.
So the latest exhibition, Room Size, is my first solo show, and it has three major components.
What are they?
The first being a large-scale installation that's taking up the main part of the gallery at City Ice, and that uses balloons, which is an element I've been using for the past couple of years in my work.
Why is that?
I think balloons are a great metaphor for time and a great way to see the passing of time.
Okay.
Since when they're blown up, they are not airtight, even when they're tied, and slowly they will be leaking air. So as a long durational piece, the balloons will leak air and get smaller, and therefore the installations will change.
So you're actually creating an environment where you want people who have probably seen it on opening night to come back and revisit it over and over again to see its progression.
Exactly, exactly. And within the gallery setting, so this show is up for 3 weeks.
Okay.
There will be some major changes at the beginning because the balloons are under a lot of pressure. I'm using parachute cord, which is very much like bungee cord, and those are restricting the balloons. So in the first few days, the balloons will change a lot, and then very slowly after that, they will change, and it will be much more subtle.
When you say balloons, I'm thinking party balloons that you blow up yourself, but it's not that at all, is it?
These are about 32-inch balloons.
Okay.
So they are big and...
Did you have to, okay, stupid question, did you have to blow them up by mouth yourself, or did you use something to help you?
I used an air compressor.
Okay, so it didn't take you 7 hours to blow up these four balloons? No, there's seven?
There are 10 balloons.
10 balloons, I forgot, that's right.
Yeah.
I went to the opening, and it's a pretty massive installation, in fact, and it's not really designed for people to walk, they can walk through it, and they can walk under
definitely,
it.
Definitely, definitely.
But you approach it. From when you walk into the space, you approach it from a point where you kind of have to stand back and absorb it all before you decide to enter it.
Yeah, I think it can be, it's surprising the way that City Ice is set up, that there's a hallway, and then it kind of opens up into the gallery,
right.
The main gallery space. And so when you're walking in, you see a hint of this, and you turn the corner, and all of a sudden it's kind of, I think, an overwhelming experience. But I was observing on Friday night that as people stood in the room longer and became more comfortable, they started to move around it a little bit more and interact with it.
Right, right, which seems to be the point of your work. You want people to interact with it.
Yeah, and this is the first time that I've really been able to get off the wall with it and really start to shape space. And before the installations with the balloons have all been really reliant on the wall.
How do you relate your work to space? Is the work configured to adapt to its environment, or is the space manipulated to receive it?
You know, it's very reliant on knowing where it's going.
Okay.
So it's built for the space that this installation is built for City Ice. If it was going anywhere else, it would change dramatically.
Go back to telling us about the sizing of the work and why this is so important. Did you walked into this space, I mean, you made the agreement with City Ice that you were going to have this exhibition, and you decided that you're going to take advantage of the environment, which is really, they have like 30-foot ceilings or something. It's incredibly tall, and it's a very large space. So tell us about how the sizing came into play.
So I've actually, over the past year, been trying to work on a smaller scale. And I've, in the past 5 years, my work has always been, if I'm given a wall, it's wall size.
Right.
I take up the wall and I work directly on the wall. And I've been wondering, you know, why do I intuitively do that, or what is it about that? And I actually went to a residency this past summer at Acre,
which
is in Steuben, Wisconsin. It's a residency that there's three different sessions during the summer, and it's they take 25 artists based out of Chicago, and basically now it's an international residency, but it's kind of grown bigger in the past year or two. And so I went up to Chicago, or I went up to, Steuben, Wisconsin, and I was going there with the intent to kind of get away from the wall and to get away from the balloons and to see what else, kind of push myself to work in a different way.
Sure.
And, yeah, and I find that, you know, I view the wall like a painter would view a canvas. Like, it's the picture plane that I'm working with,
sure.
And it's hard for me to kind of pull that back and work smaller.
So now are you starting to also look at the overall environment as a canvas, something to work off of? Because this really, these balloon pieces really manipulate the entire space.
Yeah.
And it really creates a divergent experience for the visitor.
Yeah. Well, and I think in this exhibition especially, I had the entire space. It being my first solo show, and these installations have been primarily in the past in group shows where, you know, they are existing with other objects in a space. So this was the first time that, you know, it could really take over the whole space.
Sure. You know, let's talk a little bit more about your various materials and techniques. Balloons are something that you've worked with before, but you've also worked with other ephemera, too, to discuss your work. Tell us about some of the other materials that you've worked with, and also what's also in the space at City Ice Arts, too.
So, so like I said, the show has three major components, the first being the large-scale installation. The second, there are a series of digital prints that I have made of photographs of gravel in different places, and gravel parking lots in different places in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And those were actually started at Acre, the residency I was at over the summer as well. And that started as a way of counting. So these pictures of gravel are marked, each individual rock are marked with a black dot.
Right. And I'm not going to let you get away with just saying that, because they are individually marked. How did you mark them? Did you use Photoshop or did you hand mark them?
They are digitally marked. So take the picture, take it into Photoshop, and then it's a meticulous process of counting.
Tell us the size of these gravel pieces, because they're not very small, but they're not enormous either. So it's encompassing a great many pieces of gravel.
Yeah, so they're blown up larger than actual size of,
okay.
Of a photograph. So the individual pieces are larger than what they would be. But they're 20 by 27 inches. And at this show, there are nine of them, and they are hung in a large grid.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this leads me to my next question. Do you like to build or take away?
I'm a builder.
Why is that? Tell us a little bit.
I don't know. I've always been a builder. I've always been someone who works three-dimensionally, and I think that's how I problem solve, is by, you know, how do these two components fit, or how does this next thing, or what can I do to solve this problem that's happening?
What are some of the problems you see as an artist that you want to solve with your art making? What do you see? What drives you to do this?
So that's an interesting question. I think it's a way to kind of keep myself calm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very kind of got a lot going on.
Well,
there's a lot of anxiety that I have. And
sure.
This is a way to kind of push myself and control that anxiety, and kind of comes off in these problems that I set up for myself, or systems and ways of doing things that are oftentimes meticulous. And
so you're pretty cathartic about this, because I was going to I want to ask you, there seems to be, there's a great deal of organization going on in your work. So how do you figure out the logistics of what you're going to make, or do you just kind of grab an idea and run with it, hoping something tangible happens, or do you sit in your studio or whatever it is that you work and just map it out and say, it's going to happen this way?
Usually I'm coming up with one way of working and then doing that, and it creates it. So like creating a set of rules and just following those rules, and then the end product comes out.
Sure.
There are a lot of starts to things that never get finished, or things that I can't figure out how to be tangible, or there's also you have to really have a lot of confidence in something to push it through. Like being interested in taking pictures of gravel parking lots sounds silly, but to persevere and keep doing it and keep working with it, and then starting to see what happens.
Sure. Do you break your own rules? Do you say you're working on something and say, you know, this isn't going anywhere, and do you pull back and stop, or do you just kind of go forward and just try to make something happen?
I definitely break my own rules. Going back to those gravel pieces, those began from an idea of, I was at my parents' house, and they live in the suburbs, and I'm looking at their front yard, and the question popped into my head is, like, how many blades of grass are in this front yard? And, like, how would one go about counting that? And
there are people who do that, but you're doing it in a different way.
Yeah, and so, at the beginning it was like, well, how do we count these infinite things? And so the taking a picture of gravel was one way to start that. And it was actually, the marking of the gravel wasn't a visual thing. It was a way to count the gravel, so I would know that I had counted it and the piece of gravel was accounted for. And originally the idea would be just the photograph, and all of the dots on Photoshop would then be erased, and the title would be the number of pieces of gravel.
But it
has evolved since then to not be about counting at all.
That's good. Well, I'm going to take this moment to have a short musical interlude, and we'll be right back. Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Blair Shulman, and my guest this evening is interdisciplinary artist Corey Emig, whose latest exhibition is Room Size at City Ice Arts. Corey, I wanted to ask, are you attracted to man-made objects to play with, or do you prefer experimenting with more organic materials? Because Room Size actually has a little bit of both. You were just, before the break, you were talking about gravel and grass, but your large-scale installation is held with parachute cord and balloons, so you kind of have a little bit of both.
I think the using nature is a really new thing. I'm really used to using man-made materials, and I think that's mostly my draw to flat color. Flat, like,
what do you mean by flat color?
Like the colors I use are, like, the colors of a Lego set, like red, blue,
green. So like real
green.
Strong primary colors that people can easily identify.
Yes.
Because the balloons are a bright yellow.
Yeah, and I use yellow specifically in these balloon installations because of once the balloons are inflated, the yellow really gets stretched, and I feel like it's a more vulnerable color than, and it doesn't have as many connotations like a red balloon or...
Right. So, and also these primary colors, seem pretty finite, as opposed to, say, your gravel pieces, which are more natural elements. Although I will say that the gravel pieces are different, are varying shades. There are some that are browner and some look kind of a bluish. So there's kind of an area for you, an opportunity for you, rather, to manipulate the color scheme, as opposed to something with the balloons where the yellow is yellow is yellow and you can't really do anything beyond that. You have to. It's about creating the environment.
Yeah. I feel like I'm still figuring out the gravel pieces and color-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, in the beginning, I was really, I was really drawn to the pattern that the dots created, but I was wondering where, when I would get to introduce the colors that I liked.
Sure.
But I'm happy now and seeing them in a grid and starting to see, the subtle difference between the ones that are more brown or red-orange and then the ones that are more blue and... Mm-hmm. Works that way for me.
There's in your bigger installations, and I've noticed this, that there's a certain element, I don't want to say danger, but there's always the possibility that something could drastically go wrong. I don't think it looks so dangerous with these balloon pieces because they're so rigidly controlled, but you've worked on things with boards too in the past. And it looks like these boards are they're leaning up against other balloons, which are leaning up against boards.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is to have the balloons deflate, so possibly something's going to happen to the wood pieces. And as an observer, you're not sure how to approach it because you're concerned that you're going to knock it over or screw it up or something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So how does that play into what you're doing?
Definitely. All the work... The larger scale installations of the sculptural work, I think, definitely has that element to it, and that really excites me. I love that the piece starts to have a life of its own and can the environment around it can help control what happens. And I think that goes back to how the work pushes me to step outside of my comfort zone and lose control of it. And someone who has been called a control freak. I can't be a control freak over my work because it has, the materials will do what they will do.
Right, right.
And I think some of the balloon installations are more scary than others, like the one you were referring to with the boards. You know, it's 12-foot planks of wood leaning against one balloon, pinning it to the wall. Like, that balloon is under a lot of pressure, and what happens when it pops?
Mm-hmm.
Will I, as a viewer, be in danger? Will these boards fall on me?
Right.
What will happen? I think you're right. The larger installation at City Ice this time doesn't have that same sense of fear as a viewer. But
there's still a sense of wonder and surprise because even a couple of hours into the opening, the balloons were already kind of forging around the parachute cord.
And once I think... the viewer realizes that it's not a cable, that it's a parachute cord, it's like a bungee cord, and that cord is pulled to its max, there's a different level of tension that you feel in the room, and it being, there were a lot of problems encountered when installing that work. So City Ice is actually an old freezer. The gallery is like the old freezer where they would make ice and store it, and because of that, the ceiling is a thin layer of sheet metal and then about 6 inches of foam.
Oh,
and so to actually structurally put something in there that will have so much pressure pulling it out from the ceiling to the bottom of a wall was a challenge to figure out how that was actually going to work.
And you didn't do this by yourself. You had help. Who?
I had a lot of help, and I would not have been able to do this by myself.
I'd like you to give a shout out to some of the people that helped you put this together.
The folks over at City Ice Arts, especially Gary Kohler, was a huge, huge help. And then Gary Noland as well. Who is another artist in town. He's actually my studio mate.
Right, right. And he's a big influence on your work. Well, you guys are buddies. And
Gary has probably been my longest Kansas City-based art friend.
Yeah, yeah.
In here,
I think the artist Mac Jacobs referred to him once as an art sensei, and I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, he's a huge mentor for me.
Yeah, is this work a continuation of what you've been doing previously, or is this a new direction? Tell us about how.
So the balloon piece obviously is that the gravel pieces are new. And there's also, we haven't talked about it yet, but a small series of sculptures.
Tell us about that.
And those are also new. I feel like those are in the beginning of their development. And going back to your question about the work falling over or breaking, those actually do that in this installation.
Mm-hmm.
They are glass pieces balanced on chunks of wood.
Yeah.
And they're kind of a little bit... you know, they're not exactly set on their straight.
But you cut the glass and you sand the wood, or you manipulate the wood. You manipulate these pieces before you put them together.
Yeah.
So that's your contribution to control. But mm-hmm. once it's in the space, it's out of your hands. So now you have to relinquish control.
Yeah. And you know, I've preparing for this show had these installed in my studio for months before, and at times they will fall and break, and that's not a huge deal for me. It's you know, that happens. And I told City Ice as I was installing, like, if this happens, you know, it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's not like the work has fallen off the wall and
sure.
And
although
broke,
one of the pieces was going to fall off like in the first hour or something, wasn't that right? I thought one of the wooden glass pieces was ready to fall.
While installing it, one big piece fell, and you know, it's to me, it's like
sure,
just part
you,
of it.
I know, but you wanted people to look at it first for a little bit.
Nothing fell during the opening.
That's true.
It was just during the installation process, and then actually there was a 6-foot piece of glass
mm-hmm.
that was going to be in the installation, and it was a tempered piece of glass. And I actually don't know what caused this, but while moving it, it just exploded.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and to me that's not like a huge deal, but it was it created these beautiful honeycombed broken pieces,
sure.
which I think will kind of pop up
sure.
later on in the work.
You know, I'd like to talk a little bit about Plug Projects and what you have going on there, because you're part of a large group of artists, and I think in the Kansas City ecosystem, it's a sort of a unique environment in that, and I want to ask you a little bit, I want you to give a shout out to Plug and talk
yeah.
about that a little bit. Tell us what's going
yeah,
on
so,
there.
So Plug is a, there are five of us that came together and started Plug, and it's mm-hmm. an artist-run space that well, we call it a curatorial collaboration.
Right.
And we focus on bringing artists from outside of Kansas City to Kansas City, and also doing the other side of that, taking Kansas City artists out and introducing them to new
sure.
communities.
Who are the other members of Plug?
So Amy and Misha Kligman,
right.
Caleb Taylor, and Caitlin Horsman.
Right. And Caitlin is not so much a visual artist. Actually, she's not a visual artist.
Caitlin makes films and teaches at UMKC.
Right.
Misha and Amy and Caleb are all primarily painters.
Right. Right. You in between your exhibitions, you have a lot of programming at Plug that draws in the community, which I think is a great social practice for Kansas City. It allows everybody to have a great opportunity to see a space and to see what's going on behind the space and to kind of have a hand in what's going on. Because you have all this interaction with the community and with so many artists locally and otherwise, how has the work shown at Plug have an effect on your own studio practice?
So through working with Plug for the past, it's been about two and a half years now, I've been introduced to a lot of new artists, a lot of different ways of working. Bringing people here to do site-specific installations has definitely broadened my view on how, what it means to be an artist and how that can figure into to life and how to make it work for me.
That's great. Well, Corey, as usual, we've run out of time and never failed. If people want to see more about your work, what's your website address?
CoreyImig.com.
And it's IMIG?
Yes.
And Corey's new exhibition room size is at City Ice Art. They're at 2015 Campbell Street, and their web address is cityiceart.com. And I want to thank you, all our listeners, Maria Vasquez Boyd, and most especially I want to thank Mark Manning for helping us out here today. Thank you so much, and have a great evening.
Thank you, Blair.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. I want to tell you about Art Speak May 14th, a week from today. We'll have playwright, actress, writer Tara Varney and Brian Coley. They'll be in talking about The Mask for the Red Death, a potpourri of talent and activities benefiting the original opera Red Death by Brian Coley and Daniel Doss. Stay tuned for From Arc to Microchip at 6:30, followed by LA Theater Works at 7 o'clock, then Chamber Music with Dr. Mike at 9, and Vibes with Val at 11 o'clock. Thank you for listening.